Do you spend most of your day thinking about God or about worldly activities? It's fine to be honest. Do you think about what's in the Bible or what's in the news? Who you've met? What you have to do next? Or possibly what you want to do next or who you want to hang out with? Well, some of you may be modern-day saints, but I suspect most of us fit into the latter category. Am I correct? And if so, that's fine. Because if so, the psalm writer from 3,000 years ago was writing this psalm for you. Verse 1, which says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked," etc., etc. Verse 1 actually contradicts all modern counseling theory in that it focuses on the negative and not the positive. But that's because the psalm writer knows where we are. He knows we're likely to be doing negative things and negative thoughts. And the psalm writer wants to help us to move into a position of happiness and joy. The first word in the psalm is blessed or happy, depending on which version you read. And actually, interestingly, the Hebrew word is plural, suggesting that he wants us to be happy not just now, but perpetually. But, as we've touched on, he suspects we're likely to be doing things that risk our long-term joy and happiness. And so in verse 1, he asks us to avoid certain activities that we may well have adopted. Do you seek the advice of those who hold godless values? How will that help us make good decisions? Or do you identify, perhaps, that such people are godless and temper the value you put on their advice? So often, we know when we're in bad company, but it seems like fun. Indeed, it can be fun for a while. And as Christians, we don't want to be killjoys, but we do need to know who is worth listening to. Do you too often enjoy hanging out with those who deliberately pursue you wrong? Perhaps for a sense of being edgy or fun? Or do you limit the time you spend with such people or what you do with them? Perhaps you identify fun and edgy activities to do that don't involve wrongdoing. Godly ways and having fun are not mutually exclusive. There was a 104-year-old lady who said the best thing about being her age is that there's no peer pressure. That's perhaps a bit long for most of us to wait. But it is peer pressure that often leads us astray. And that's what verse 1 is telling us about. Perhaps you like to look cool with friends by mocking or being scornful or critical at times and disrespectful. Or do you try to avoid going in for character assassination? It's about having the right mindset. We so easily drift into these worldly ways. As Dale Ralph Davis says, "Do we resist the vacuum cleaner, the power moves that an evil worldly society sucks us into?" Or as Steve Pettit says, "Evil is not passive. It can suck us into a downward spiral, and our character gets destroyed. But it's clever as it works slowly and in small iterative steps without us noticing." And this psalm gives us a choice. And verse 2 moves into the alternative. Joy and happiness stem from dwelling on the source of love or good or truth. This involves the discipline of dwelling and meditating on the scripture. The narrow way for the few offers abundant long-term blessings. And so we talked earlier from Matthew, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And we could have a whole sermon as to what life means there, but abundant joy. And there are few that take it. I'm now going to revert to well-known theologian and quote from him. And his name is Bob Dylan. And this is from one of his songs. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve someone. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve someone. You may be a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, or you might be living in a dome. You may own guns, and you may even own banks. You may be someone's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And then verse 3, which we've been talking about earlier. The easy way is to cut the bloom from its root. It looks beautiful for a while before it fades. However, the bloom that's connected to the root and is continually fed with the water of life blooms for much longer and is at least equally beautiful. It thrives in difficult times when the supply of water is limited. And in addition, the bloom connected to the root ripens into fruit, which the severed bloom never achieves. And so what are those blooms? The tragedy of the modern world is that the modern world loves these blooms. Patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, forgiveness, fairness, love, justice. The modern world strives for all of these things and thinks they're good, but the modern world has cut them from their roots because these are all based on Christian teaching. And we already see in society the consequence of being cut from those roots. And so, for us, if we keep connected to our spiritual roots, we shall sustain our joy and happiness for longer, as it's embedded in the nourishment of our soul. We need to recognize where our healthy roots are and the positive outcome of being connected to them. And indeed, verse 4 says, the plucked bloom ends up like chaff that is thrown away in the wind. And indeed, lost forever, as it's worthless, lifeless, useless. It's like the flower that ends up lost on the compost heap of the garden. And this is where James 3 comes in. James 3:13 that was read. It's about having the wisdom to choose. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, it says in verse 17. It's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Why? Because it's rooted in God's wisdom. And that brings us back to Psalm 1. And so we move on to verse 5 and 6. And where does that leave us? Well, we're invited to make a choice. The narrow way, which is hard but rewarding. or the broad way, which is easy and for the many. And as we said, the narrow way is designed for our ultimate, long-term, lasting joy in this life and beyond. And the broad way has no ultimate impact. So that's Psalm 1. It's about a personal choice that we have to make. And for better or worse, you've invited me back next week, and we're going to do Psalm 2, which is about the big picture of what the world view may be. But Psalm 1 is about our personal journey. And it's what personal journey you want. And it's for you to decide. Let us sing once more, pertinent to what we've just been hearing about. Father God, I wonder how...